It's good to be with you this morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Once you find Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to then to mark Psalm 16. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 to introduce our lesson this morning. And then we're going to be turning to Psalm 16, and we'll spend the rest of our time there in Psalm 16. Hopefully, by marking Psalm 16, that will help you make the transition from Proverbs 3 to Psalm 16 in our lesson this morning. I want to begin, though, our lesson by reading Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 5, this is a familiar context. It's one of my favorite. It may be one of your favorite sections of Scripture. It's very practical. It's very profitable as we go through this life. And so this morning, as we begin our lesson together of God's Word, let's begin by reading Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, and we'll read down through verse number 8. Solomon says, Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. As we think about what Solomon is saying in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through verse number 7, the way that we live our lives is a strong indicator in whether or not we are trusting in the Lord. I want you to stop and to allow that thought to sink in. The way that we live our lives here upon this earth is a clear indication of whether or not we are trusting in the Lord. You see, those who trust in the Lord believe that God exists, according to Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Those who believe in the Lord trust that God has revealed His inspired Word to mankind, and that all Scripture is God-breathed, according to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Men, do you trust the Lord when He says to us that we are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge, lest your prayers be hindered? 1 Peter 3, verse number 7. Wives, do you trust in the Lord when He says that you are to obey your husbands in all things? Ephesians 5, verse number 22. Young people, let me encourage you to trust in the Lord when the Lord says to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, verse number 1. Do we trust in the Lord when the Lord says that we are to submit to every ordinance? 1 Peter 3, verse number 17. Do we trust in the Lord when the Lord says marriage is for men and women? Matthew chapter 19, verse number 5. Do we trust in the Lord when He says, my ways are much higher than your ways? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. You see, when we learn to trust in the Lord, we will obey Him in all things. We might say it like this: our will yield to His will. Like we see in Psalm 119, 133, where David says, order my steps in thy word, and let not sin have dominion over me. Again, if we trust in the Lord, it's not going to be our own will, it's going to be the Lord's will. Now, as we kind of summarize this thought here, this introduction from Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through verse number 8, we may even add this point. We might say that the foundation of wisdom In fact, you can go back to Proverbs 1 and Proverbs chapter 2, leading up to Proverbs chapter 3, trusting in the Lord, that the foundation of wisdom is learning to trust in God and not leaning upon your own understanding, in your own will. But it's leaning upon the Lord and it's trusting in the Lord in all things. But the question that I want to present before you this morning is this: why? Why should we trust in the Lord? Now let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. If you would go to Psalm 16 with me, and the psalmist is going to answer that question. And we're going to study through Psalm 16 this morning. And as we study through this beautiful psalm, you'll notice it's not a very long psalm, only 11 verses. We will see why we should trust in the Lord. As we begin our study this morning of Psalm 16, we'll notice together in verses 1 through 2 the first reason. We should trust in the Lord from verses 1 and 2 because God is the source of all blessings. He is the source of all blessings. Notice what the psalmist declares. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. My goodness extendeth not to thee. Now, I'm reading out of the King James. But I want you to consider some other renderings of this passage, the last part of verse number 2. Apart from God, there is no good. Another translation says, I have no good beyond thee. And here's another translation. God, apart from you, I have no good thing. And so again, as we think about why we should trust the Lord, we can see from Psalm 16, 1 and 2, that we should trust in the Lord because He is the source of all blessings. In fact, David trusted in the Lord because he knew that everything that was good in his life was from God. Again, everything that was good in his life was from God. I hope we never forget that. That God is the source of every blessing that we encounter in this life. In James 1, verse number 17, James says that every good gift, it's from above. It comes from above. God longs to shower down blessings upon us. But as this psalm continues, you will see that in order for God to bless us in this life, we have to be willing to live right. We have to be willing to live for God and to put God first in our lives. We have to be trusting in God, you see. God is not going to bless an individual when that person leaves God out of their life. God's not going to bless the individual who says in Psalm 14, verse number 1, there is no God. God's not going to bless that individual. And yet, as we read Psalm 16, verses 1 through 2, we see this principle throughout the Old Testament. This really serves as a foundation to trusting and serving God. God told His people in Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, blessings if you obey me. He lays it out that plain. Blessings if you obey me. Cursings if you disobey me. Now you take Deuteronomy 11 verse 26 and you follow that truth out throughout the Old Testament and you'll see that God kept His word. When His people were obeying Him, when they were faithful to Him, He blessed them immensely. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. again, keep your mark there in Psalm 16 and turn over to the book of Hosea. And I want to read a couple of verses from the book of Hosea. Now, as you turn over to the book of Hosea, you know that this is a love story. And this is really a sad story to some degree. In fact, we see that Hosea had a wife by the name of Gomer. And Gomer was unfaithful to him. And this really hurt Hosea. But this story illustrates God's relationship with His own people. Just as Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea, Israel was unfaithful to God. Just as Gomer committed adultery against Hosea, God's people committed spiritual adultery against him. Hosea chapter 3. But here in Hosea chapter 2, I want to just read a couple of verses for your consideration. Notice with me Hosea chapter 2, and I want to just read verse number 9 to begin with. Therefore, this is what God says to His people, therefore will I return and take away, listen to it, my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof. This symbolized the vineyards that God gave them. And will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. These were the blessings, the physical blessings, that God showered down upon His people. Yet as you read Hosea 2, as you read the following verses leading up to verse number 9, we see that Israel acknowledged their false gods as the source of these blessings. And the problem is, as you continue to read Hosea chapter 2, verse number 13, we see the problem. They forgot that God was the source of all blessings. Essentially, God says there in verse number 13, my people have forgotten me. And this isn't the only time that God says this about His own people. You remember Jeremiah 2, verse number 13, can a maid forget her ornament or a bride, her attire? Yet God says, my people have forsaken me days without number. God's people forgot that He was the source of all blessings. As we go through this life, don't forget this important truth. Why should we trust God? Why should we totally depend upon Him? Again, He is the source of all blessings. Think about what the psalmist says in Psalm 84, verse number 11. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see, when we walk uprightly, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John 1, 5 through 7, He'll bless us in this life. He is the source of all good. Every good thing that we experience in this life, and we could list out those things, and they would be numerous. All of those things come from God. But as we go back to Psalm 16, as we continue to read through this beautiful psalm, we'll notice a second reason from verses 3 and 4. Why we should trust God. From verses 3 and 4, we should trust God because all other gods, little g, will not satisfy. Read verse 3 and verse 4 with me. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied, and here it is, that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. Notice that determination. Notice the vow that the psalmist is making there at the end of verse number 4. The drink offerings of blood, pagan worship. The psalmist says, will I not offer, nor make up their names, their language, into my lips. You see, the psalmist would be the first to tell you that not all religion leads to the same God, which is a common thought in our religious world today. It doesn't matter what God you serve. It doesn't matter what religion you practice. It all points to the same God. Well, the psalmist never acknowledges that. The psalmist says very different. The psalmist had seen all of the false religion in his time, and the psalmist makes that vow not to associate himself with false religion. Why should we trust in the Lord? Because He is the true and living God. And all the other gods that we see in the world, all the other gods that we see in this world will not satisfy. You and I both understand, like the psalmist, there is a lot of false religion in this world. Our world is saturated with false religion. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. Hey, you go back to the Old Testament, you go back to the patriarchal dispensation. For that matter, you look at mankind as a whole, mankind worships something. That is how God has created us. And you see that to be true. Mankind worships something. Well, here the psalmist makes a vow that he wouldn't be associated with all of the false religion that is in the world. And you and I, we should make the same vow as we go through life. We're not going to associate ourselves with all of the false religion that is in the world. You see, we learn in the New Testament that God is seeking true worshipers. Notice that language, true worshipers. Worshipers that will worship God in spirit with the right attitude and in truth according to His Word. John 4, 23 and 24. We also learn in 2 John verse 9 through 11 that if we are going to be in fellowship with God, we must. It's imperative. That means God is giving us a command. He's not giving us a suggestion. If we're going to be in fellowship with God, we must abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And John says that if we abide in the doctrine and the teaching of Jesus Christ, our religion isn't going to be in vain. Our religion is going to be meaningful. Our religion is going to be pleasing to God. And so if we trust God, again, we are going to worship God. We're going to recognize that God is the source of all blessings. And we're going to recognize that all other gods will not satisfy. But as we continue to look at this, we'll notice from verses 5 and 6 that we should trust God, number 3, because He promises to bless us in this life. He is worthy of our praise because of that. Not the false gods. Only God, the God of heaven, the God that created this earth, that created us, the God that revealed His Word. He is the only God, according to Revelation 4, verse number 11, that is worthy of our worship. But notice with me verses 5 and 6. Again, God promises to bless us in this life. That's why we should trust Him. Verse number 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen into my pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. As you think about these two verses, there are words that you should underline in your minds, maybe in your Bible. the word inheritance, the word cup, the word lot, the word line. Because all of these words are significant. And it really reminds us of the land promise that God made to His people when He brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And remember when the people would come over into the land of Canaan? You remember what the spy said about the land? Oh, it was a land that was prospering. A land that was filled with milk and honey. Now, we know that part of that generation wasn't allowed into the promised land. But as we're reading Psalm 16, that is what comes to the psalmist's mind. He thinks about how he's been blessed in this life. He's mindful of the land promise, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. The psalmist recognized that his cup was running over. As I said, the word cup is a key thought as you're thinking about Psalm 16. And really, we can tie Psalm 16 verse 5 to Psalm 23 verse 5. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil. You remember, my cup runneth over. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. My cup is running over. God has filled my cup. He has blessed me in this life. And the psalmist is saying that's why we should trust in Him. You know, we are encouraged as we turn over to the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. We are encouraged to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And Paul says, for godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise, and listen to this, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Do you see what inspiration is saying about God? That's what we're talking about here in Psalm 16. God has promised to bless us in this life. That is why Christ came to this earth. He has come to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. John 10, verse number 10. I think sometimes as Christians, we forget about the point that we're making. We think maybe sometimes that the blessings that God showers down upon us will only be in the future when we're in heaven. And yet we see the opposite here in Psalm 16. We see the opposite of that thought in 1 Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8. God's promise to bless us in this life, the life that we're living in. You stop and think about the godly life and you can see this. This point is very clear. You stop and think about the godly life and you put it next to a sinful life. Which one's going to be better? Which one is going to cause you to be happy? Think about what we see in Scripture. Proverbs 13, verse number 15. The way of the transgressor is hard. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at both paths. I'm looking at both lives, both outcomes. A godly life, a sinful life. The way of the transgressor is hard. You look at somebody that has lived a sinful life for some period of time. You can see just by their appearance that they lived a hard life. You look at somebody that's been an alcoholic or somebody that's been on drugs all of their life. You see that they lived a hard life. A life that is without God. A life that has ignored God's precepts. That's why we should trust God, because God wants us to live a good life here on this earth. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to get the most out of life. Trust Him. Trust Him, because that is the only way that you will experience a good life. It's the only way you'll experience true happiness. We think about happiness, we think about Solomon, don't we? And you remember, Solomon was on the pursuit of happiness in the book of Ecclesiastes. And whatever was under the sun, we can summarize it by that. Whatever it was under the sun, he tried. He experienced. Because he was seeking true happiness. And he never found that true happiness under the sun. But you remember the point he makes at the very end of the book? Hear the conclusion. I like that. Hey, you want to know what life is all about? You want to experience happiness and goodness here upon the earth? Fear God and keep His commandments. Pay attention to God. He is the source of all blessings. False gods will not satisfy. God has promised to bless us in this life. You see, if we're living a lifestyle of sin, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. If we are living a lifestyle of sin, in other words, if we are walking in darkness, listen, we're missing it. We are missing out on what is good and true. We are missing out on the source of true happiness. You know what the Bible says about those who walk in darkness? Those who live a persistent lifestyle of sin, the pleasure of sin is only for a season. Hebrews 11, verse number 25. You know the outcome of that lifestyle? Romans 6, 23. It's eternal death. And yet you see so many go down that path. So many want to enter into that broad path that leads to destruction. Those who live in darkness are missing out. And listen to what Scripture says about that. Listen to what God's Word reveals about those who are living in sin and missing out. Proverbs 4, verse number 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. And Solomon says, and they know not at what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. They really don't realize that the path that they're on because they've been deceived by sin. Oh, there are people who are living in sin, that are shacking up, that are committing fornication every day, and they think they're on top of the world. They think that they are happy. That's what God is saying. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. They don't realize the path that they're on. Let's trust in the Lord because He has promised to bless us in this life. Look at verse number 7 and verse number 8. Again, why should we trust the Lord? That's the question that we're asking. And as we go through Psalm 16, the psalmist is answering that question. In verse number 7 and 8, we should trust in God because He teaches us or He instructs us in the paths of righteousness. Look at verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me, key word, counsel. My reins are my heart also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before my face because He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I like what we're seeing here in verses number 7 and 8. The psalmist trusts God because he realizes that God is leading him down the right path. God is leading him down the right path. Again, this reminds us of Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. He leads me, He guides me. That's the God that we serve, the God that instructs us, the God that leads us. Again, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. That's what we find in God's Word, instruction, guidance, and counsel. My reins also instruct me. Notice the connection. It wasn't just his heart that was instructing him. It was God's counsel that was instructing him. His heart. In Proverbs 28, verse number 26, God says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Think about that. He that trusteth in his own heart, God says, is a fool. Here the psalmist is saying, I'm going to trust in God because He gives me counsel. He is the one that instructs my heart what to do, what to say. And what a huge difference. Trust God because, again, He will lead you down the right path, not the wrong path. As the people, or as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6 verse 16, to the people, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Do you see what Jeremiah is encouraging the people to do? Turn to God. Seek God for instruction and guidance. What's sad is in Jeremiah 6 verse number 17, the people says, we will not walk in God's ways. Well, we should trust God because He will lead us down the right path. And when God is leading us down the right path, like the psalmist, we will not be afraid of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Again, that instruction, the guidance, the psalmist says, I take pleasure in, and I'm not afraid of what life presents to me. You know, as you think about verses 7 and 8, David didn't allow the troubles of this life to press on him to such a degree that he wouldn't look up. So many go through this life and they never take time to look up to God. You know, when we take time to look up to God, do you know what we're going to see? We're going to see that God, like the psalmist, is our refuge. We will see that God is our comfort. God is our strength. God is our guidance. I hope we're not distracted by what's going on in this life. I hope that we're trusting in God, and I hope we're seeing from Psalm 16 why we should trust God. He is the one that is leading us. He is the one that is taking us by the hand, leading us through life, and He's not going to lead us down the wrong path. But we have to turn to His Word, and we have to allow God to guide us, to instruct us in His Word. In Psalm 143, verse 10, David says, Lord, teach me to do Thy will, and let not sin have dominion over me. I hope, again, we recognize that as we go through this life, and I hope we trust in God, that we lean upon Him for guidance, for advice, for counsel. Continue with me, verse 9, we're almost done with this. Verse 9, verse number 10, we see another reason why we should trust God. Not only has God promised to bless us in this life, verses 9 and 10, He's promised to bless us in the life to come. Look at verse number 9, verse number 10. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. He says at the end, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave, verse 10, my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now, as you look at this, there is an immediate fulfillment in David's life, but this text sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because this context, these verses that we're reading here, verse number 8 going down to verse number 10, have a future fulfillment. In fact, when you turn over to Acts chapter 2, 29 through 31, you will see that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quotes verbatim Psalm 16, 8 through verse number 10, applying it to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, applying it ultimately to eternal life. The psalmist rejoices here in Psalm 16 because he realizes the Lord would not abandon him in death, in the grave. You see, even David, this fascinates me, even God's people in the Old Testament, they had some bit of knowledge concerning the resurrection. They had enough understanding, enough knowledge to believe that there was life after death. And that's why the psalmist is trusting in God. Because he realizes that there's so much more to life than life here upon this earth. He realizes that God has much more in store for us in eternity. That's why, again, we should trust in God. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So many people, as you know, they're focused on this life. They are focused on the here and now. So many go through this life and they don't even think about eternal salvation. Like Jesus would say in Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? They made the worst deal, the worst investment of their life. We should trust God because He's promised to bless us in this life, but He's also promised to bless us in the life to come. As Solomon said in Proverbs 11, verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. Oh, the good life is the Christian life. Yes, here on this earth, it's the best life, but you know, we have so much to look forward to in eternity. And we know that, but we have to trust God. And then we come to the last verse, and the lesson will be yours. Another reason why to trust God. Verse number 11. Ultimately, He is the source of salvation. What I see in Psalm 16 is a progression here. It just gets better and better and better. We should trust Him because, again, He is the source of our salvation. And think about it as we read this together. God is pursuing our salvation. Listen to it. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, what a beautiful verse, there are pleasures forevermore. Aren't you thankful that God is pursuing your salvation, my salvation? Clay, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is God wants every person to be saved. What is good and acceptable to the sight of God is to have all men saved, according to Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14, 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. The grace that brings salvation, Paul says, has appeared unto all men. God wants every person to be saved. He's pursuing our salvation, and He's demonstrated His love toward us by sending His Son to die on the cross for our sins. But as we think about verse number 11, as we bring this lesson to a close, make the application. It's our responsibility to help people see the light. It's our responsibility to help people set their feet on the path of salvation. How do we do that? We turn them to the Scriptures. We take them to the Scriptures so they can put their faith in Jesus Christ, the one that died for them. We take them to the Scriptures so that they will see themselves as sinners and repent of their sins. Luke 13, verse 3. We take them to the Scriptures so that they can see from the Scriptures that in order to be saved, they must publicly confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we take them to the Scriptures, helping them put their feet on the path of salvation so that they will understand that in order to be saved, they must be baptized into Jesus Christ. They must experience a spiritual birth in order to have eternal life. You see, when we walk down the path of salvation, the path of righteousness, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, again, we experience the fullness of joy. You want to be happy? You want to experience peace, joy, happiness? Become a Christian. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, understanding and knowing that God seeks a relationship with you. God seeks intimacy with you this morning. Will you trust Him? This morning, if there is someone here that's never responded to the gospel, we pray that you will start trusting God this morning by obeying God, by becoming a Christian. If you are a Christian, I hope this lesson this morning from Psalm 16 will encourage you to trust in God. And I've given you some reasons from Psalm 16 why we should trust Him. If we're not trusting Him, let's change that this morning. Let's make those corrections this morning. If we need to come before the congregation to confess sin, let's have the humility to confess our fault one before another, James 5, verse 16. If it's something that you need to do privately between you and God, let me encourage you to do that. Let's examine ourselves this morning, realizing that the Lord's invitation, it's always open, but this is a convenient time for us to offer that invitation. And so this morning, if you are subject